Good morning, page mem, letter Chaf Aleph. We did this yesterday. I'll go over it again quickly and expand on it a little bit. Rav Chista demonstrated a seeming contradiction between two psukim. Tiv v'chafral v'nav v'oshachama says that the moon will be embarrassed and the sun will be ashamed, ki malach Hashem tzarkot, because Hashem has ruled. And says the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be shivatayim. We said means 7 squared 49 times, or shivatayim, the light of the 7 days. In other words, the sun will be 343 times brighter than it is now. Lokasha. The light of the 7 days means the light of the 7 days of creation, which is 7 times the light of 1 day, and 49 times 7 is 343. So it seems to be a contradiction between the psukim, because one says that in the future the sun will be ashamed compared to the light, it will pale by the light of the Shekhinah. The other says the sun will be 343 times brighter than it is now. Lo kasha kan limot Mashiach kan lo lama va. The Gemara says, not Akasha. The pasuk that says that the sun will be bright is in the days of Mashiach, and then in Olam Haba it will pale in comparison to the revelation of the light of the Shekhinah. And according to Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who said that there's no difference between the days of Mashiach and now, except that in the days of Mashiach the Goyim will leave us alone, so the sun can't be 343 times brighter than it is now. Lo kasha, it's not a kasha. Kan machane tzadikim, kan machane shechina. So there's no difference. It's no kasha. One pasuk is talking about in the camp of the tzadikim, the sun will be bright. And one pasuk is talking about in the camp of the shechina, the sun will pale in comparison to the shechina. And we said yesterday that the Toras Chaim explained that calculation of 343, as I explained it, that it's 7 times the light of 1 day, and then times Shiva time, which means 7 squared, so altogether it's 7 cubed, and he pointed out that Chazal say, Rashi quotes it in Brachos, that Hashem saw that the Rishayim were not worthy of having the original light, so Hashem hid away the original light, and the light. So Taras Chaim says that the light we have now is 1/7 of the original light, and that's hinted to in the word me'oros, luminaries, in first chapter of Brachos. It's missing the letter vav, hinting that 6 out of the 7 parts are missing, because the light's 1/7 of what it was. So now it means 6/7 are missing. The letter vav, the gematria of vav is 6. So the letter Vav represents that 6 of the 7 parts are missing.
So Rashi citing who?
Taras Chaim. Taras Chaim's commentator on Gemara from the 1600s. Okay. We noted yesterday that this Gemara is difficult to reconcile with science as we know it, because if the sun was 343 times brighter than it is now, or even if it was 7 times brighter than it is now, we would fry. And we said, we'll wait and see what it really means. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about that. Leave the sitter here. One thing we mentioned yesterday was that there are 613 mitzvos. Only 270 of them apply nowadays in the time of Golos, which means 343 of them are missing. So when we're able to fulfill those missing 343 mitzvos, maybe there's some connection between that and the sun being 343 times brighter. That was one possibility. I would like to share a thought from Rav Steinman, Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman, who passed away yesterday. He was a 104-year-old senior Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. You may remember he was here about 12 years ago, not here in Shul, but here in Silver Spring. When he was 92 years old or so, he traveled around the United States to just visit communities and yeshivas and give chizuk. And so, as you may have heard, he passed away yesterday. So he says, this is in his Sefer, Yimalei Pi Tilatecha, Chelek Bet, page Resh Tzadi Gimel. He does not directly mention our Gemara, but as far as the idea of the original light being hidden away, which the Torah's Chaim mentioned as being related to our Gemara, and I think that this will possibly shed some light on the idea of the light being brighter in the future. So he mentions, quotes the Rashi, that Hashem saw that the original light is not worthy, that Rashaim were not worthy of using the original light, so Hashem hid it away. And he says there are lots of pleasures in the world that tzaddikim can do without, and Hashem didn't hide them away. What is it about the light specifically? Why didn't Hashem say, you know, Rishayim are not worthy of having latkes, and he hid them away for tzaddikim in the future? Why is it, what is special about the light? There's obviously something special about it. Also, if Hashem wanted, Hashem could have, you know, during Makas Choshech, the plague of darkness in Mitzrayim, so it was dark for the Egyptians and it was light for the Jews. Hashem could have made the world so that if Rishayim were not worthy of having the light, they could have darkness and we could have light. Well, hopefully we are among the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim could have light. Why did Hashem have to hide away the light? So the answer is that Hashem did not want a state where the tzaddikim would have constant light, because light is the absence of light is what allows bechira, free choice, to exist. Now, we just jumped from talking about physical light to spiritual light. And Rav Steinman points out that they clearly are related, as Yitzi was kind enough to open the Siddur to the first bracha of Kriya Shema, bracha of Yotzer Or. We start out Yotzer Or talking about physical light. Yotzer Or v'Rechoshech, Hashem creates light, formed light and created darkness. Go on, and we talk about the physical luminaries. Hashem makes the great luminaries. His kindness endures forever. And all of a sudden, Or Chadash al Sion Ta'ir, a new light, may you shine on Sion, and may we all merit its light quickly. We just jumped from talking about the sun and the moon to talking about spiritual light. If what you were pointing out is that there's a vav here, not a chumash. The chumash doesn't have a vav. This is a siddur's printed. Siddur's printed, so you could read it. There's no religious significance whatsoever to how words are printed in the siddur. Zero, none. What is of interest here is that we suddenly jumped from one sentence to the next, talking about the sun and the moon. They're talking about the light that in the future will shine on Sion. And what you see is, says Rav Steinman, that there's a relationship between physical light and spiritual light. Physical light is, compared to other physical things like latkes, light is almost spiritual. It's in a sense invisible, it's intangible, and it's something that, in English, and I'm guessing in other languages, we use it to refer to spiritual and intellectual things, like when someone sees the light, right? He was in darkness and then he saw the light, and that's not referring to, you know, he walked out into the sun. It's referring to he suddenly understood something he didn't understand before. So we see light is, even physical light is connected to something spiritual. And what is it that the light does? The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, quotes a pasuk in Baruch Nafshi, we say on Rosh Chodesh, Tashet Choshech Vihi Laila, you lay down darkness and it will be night. Botir Moskol Chayto Yar, the animals will prowl. And the Gemara says, Tashet Choshech Vihi Laila refers to this, to Olam Hazeh, which is like nighttime. The animals will prowl refers to the Rishayim, who prowl like animals in the forest. The pasuk continues, Tizrach Hashemesh Yasefu, and the sun will shine, and they will be gathered in, Ve'el Mo'onotam Yerbatzun, and they will crouch down in their dwelling places. And Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Daf Pei Gimel, Tizrach Hashemesh Latzadikim, the sun will shine for tzadikim, and Rishayim will be gathered into to Gehenim. They will crouch in their dwelling places. There's no tzaddik who doesn't have a dwelling place worthy of his honor. And then the pasuk continues, Yitzei Adam L'Paolo, man will go out to his work. Mara says, Yitzu Tzadikim L'Kavel Scharan. The tzaddikim will go out to receive their reward. Now, what is the Gemara? Gemara seems to be telling me, presumably, is telling me a chiddush. Nighttime is like Rishayim, or like animals who prowl in the nighttime, and tzaddikim are in the daylight. I mean, I know they're Rishayim, I know they're tzaddikim, I know Rishayim are going to Gehenna, I know tzaddikim are getting reward. What is the Gemara telling me? So, the Gemara is pointing out that what enables Rishayim to exist is darkness, and tzaddikim live in light. It's the light, the revelation of Hashem that allows a person, when a person discovers the revelation of Hashem, that's what allows him to be a tzaddik, whereas Rishayim live in darkness without awareness of Hashem. And it's the fact that this world is dark that gives a person the free choice, because if the light was revealed all the time, we would not have free choice. So he asks why the Gemara says every tzaddik has a dwelling place worthy of his honor, and he will get his reward. Seems to be redundant. I mean, isn't the dwelling place worthy of his honor? Isn't that his reward, his place in Olam Haba? So he explains that the reward is a reward for mitzvahs. If a person lights Hanukkah candles, he did a mitzvah. Person picks up a lulav, sits in a sukkah, puts on tefillin, he did a mitzvah. And he'll get rewarded for it. No matter how he did it, he'll get rewarded for it. However, there's another aspect, which is the light, the amount of light that the tzaddik, or that the person discovers doing the mitzvah, the light being the revelation of Hashem. The more that the person sees the mitzvah as connecting him to Hashem, as revealing Hashem in this world, that creates the dwelling place that he's going to have. So there is reward for all mitzvos, but the amount of light that is revealed through the mitzvah, which depends on how the person does the mitzvah, that affects the so to speak, what his apartment in Olam Haba will look like, how bright, how big it will be, how bright it will be. So. And in reality, a person can only, the enjoyment of the reward that a person will have is dependent on that. on how he does the mitzvah. So that is what Rav Steinman says. He doesn't mention our Gemara, but seemingly it directly relates to our Gemara, talking about the brightness of the sun in the future, the how great the light will be in the future. The light, as he explains, is a reference to the revelation of Hashem, to the reward for mitzvos proportional to the amount of light that a person reveals or uncovers, I guess a better word, when he does mitzvos, depending on whether he does them by rote or he makes them a spiritual experience, an experience of discovering God through doing mitzvos, that reveals the light that's hidden. We mentioned yesterday, the Yad Ramah said that in the camp of the Shechina, the light's already there. It's just, we're just not seeing it because it's hidden. And it's hidden because, as Rosh Steinman says, it's hidden because there wouldn't be Bechira if it wasn't hidden. And our job is to reveal it. So perhaps that sheds some light, no pun intended, or maybe yes pun intended, on the meaning of our Gemara about the light being brighter in the future. Okay, back in the Gemaras. We are on page Mem Aleph, letter Chaf Beis. Rava Ramikti. Rava inquired or presented a contradiction in Psukim. Ktiv, it says, Ani amit v'chaye, I will. This is actually one pasuk within the same pasuk. I put to death and bring to life. Uchtiv machatzti vanirpa, and it says that I have injured and I will heal. So seemingly that's a contradiction. Why is that a contradiction? So Rashi explains. Rashi is on page Mem Aleph, the second line. Ktiv ani amit v'chaye. The mashma implies kishem shani amit et adam, the same way that I put a person to death, kach ani m'chayehu, that's how I will bring him to life. Kishemet balmum or made b'chay balmum, if he died with a blemish, he will come to life with a blemish. And the other half of the pasuk says, I injured and I will heal. So which is it? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mashani Meimit Ani Mechayeh, that which I put to death I will bring back to life. V'hadar, and afterwards, Mash Machatzi, that which I injured I will heal. Ani Arpa, I will heal. Consistent with what we said twice already, that people will come back to life with their blemishes, and then they will be healed. And we said yesterday that increases the miracle, that ensures that people will be recognized, that any cynics who happen to be there won't say, oh, those aren't the same people. I remember him. He had a mom, and this must be his distant cousin who just looks like him but doesn't have a mom. So that will address that problem. Okay. The Marsha says here, so he notes that there's another girsa, but he says that according to our girsa, I don't understand what this contradiction is. So we explain that Rashi says that the contradiction is that one pasuk, the first half of the pasuk implies that people will come back the way they were, and the second half says they will be healed. So that's a contradiction. Marsha says that doesn't quite seem like a contradiction to me. So he explains that the kasha was that Rava is bothered by the language. Ani amit is future tense. Vachaye is future tense. Okay. Machatzti is past tense. Erpa is again future tense. So why is that? It's not seemingly not a consistent way to write a pasuk. Okay. And so Rava is answering, machatzti, I caused the blemish in past tense, is referring to, so I will bring people to life in the future. I will put people to death. The people who are alive now will die. Okay. And then I will bring them to life. I already in the past caused blemishes to them because they're alive now. They already have whatever problems they have. And I will heal it in the future. That is how the Marsha explains what Rava is saying. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, page Membet. Ani Amit Vachaye. Pasuk says, is Pasuk in Hazino, same Pasuk. I will put to death and bring back to life. Yecholte mita bechad v'chayim v'acher. I might think, means I'll put one person to death and bring another person to life. One person dies, babies are born, different people. Keder shalom noheg, the way the world works. I might think that that's what the pasuk is saying. I will continue to run the world the way the world is now. Tamud lomar, therefore it says, machatzti v'ani erpa, I caused injury and I will heal. Just as the healing is to the same person who was injured, not that one person gets injured and a different person gets healed, that makes no sense. So too, death and life will be for the same person. This is an answer to those who say that Tchias HaMesim is not mentioned in the Torah. Tanya Remeir Omer. Learn a brisa, Rav Meir says. We're going to continue with more hints to Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. Just as a reminder, the Mishnah said that someone who denies Tchias HaMesim has no chelik in Olam Haba. And Rashi said that it means even if somebody acknowledges there is Tchias HaMesim and just says it's not hinted to in the Torah, even that is grounds for not having a share in Olam Hava. And clearly the Gemara, depending on how you count, some Farshim say the Gemara is going to bring a total of 18 proofs, some say there are 15, but there are a lot. Gemara is working very hard to show us that Tchias HaMesim is hinted to in the Torah and in Tanakh. So at a future date, we'll talk about why the Gemara is working so hard at this and what difference does it make if somebody does deny that Tchias HaMesim is in the Torah, if he believes in Tchias HaMesim. We don't say, if you deny that Mashiach is mentioned in the Torah, you have no chelek olam haba. We don't say, if you deny that the Torah says God is one, you have no chelek olam haba. You just have to believe God is one. You have to believe Mashiach is coming. So why is it so important that Tchias HaMesim be hinted to in the Torah? We will come back and talk about that. But for now, the Gemara continues with more allusions to Tchias HaMesim. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin L'Tchias HaMesim in the Torah, where do we find Tchias HaMesim in the Torah? Shneamar, Az Yashir Moshe Ben Yisrael. Then Moshe Ben Yisrael will sing. V'go Omer, etc. Shar Lo Neamar. It doesn't say then Moshe Ben Yisrael sang, but rather Ela Yashir, they will sing. Mikan L'Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. This is an allusion to Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. The Eitz Yosef explains, as we're going to see shortly in the Gemara. Gemara says, "Kol omer shira ba'olam hazeh zocheh v'omer l'olam haba." Whoever says shira in this world will merit to say shira in olam, to praise God, to sing in olam haba as well. So this pasuk is teaching us, just as Moshe and Bnei Yisrael sang in this world, so they will sing in the world to come. And he goes on, Eitz Yosef, quoting Sefer Nishmas Chaim, that the Navi Yishaya, when the Navi Yishaya saw the future, he saw time Mashiach, he said, in that time, Hashem will a second time lift his hand to acquire his people, When was the first time Hashem lifted his hand? It was Yetzias Mitzrayim, Biyad Chazaka, and was drawn to Tuya. So the Navi is connecting the future redemption to Yetzias Mitzrayim, just as our Gemara is connecting the Shira that Moshe and Meshal sang at Yetzias Mitzrayim to the future Shira. They're not unrelated. It will be a replay on a grander scale of the same redemption. And the Navi continues, Yeshaya continues, Ki oziv zimrat ka Hashem vayhi li lishua. Okay. That should sound familiar. In Oz Yashir it says, Ki oziv zimrat ka vayhi li lishua. That Hashem is my strength and my song, and he was my salvation. But in Oz Yashir it just says ka. It the name Yud He. It doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. Doesn't say Ki either. It says Oziv Zimrat Ka Vayil Shua. My might and my praise is Hashem, and he was my salvation. Navi Yeshaya says regarding the future, Ki oziv zimrat ka Hashem, yudkei vavkei, he says, vayhi li Yeshua. Almost the same pasuk with the addition of Hashem's full name. After Kriyas Yam Suf, after Oz Yashir, we know Amalek attacked, and Hashem says, ki yad al kes kam necham al Hashem Amalek, Hashem takes an oath by the name Ka Yud Hey that his throne is not complete until evil is destroyed. So in the future, today Moshe Bnei Israel could only sing to the partial revelation of Hashem, to the name Ka. But in the future, the Navi says they will sing the same song, but to the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. And also all of that is alluded to by our Gemara, which points out that it says, Az Yashir, in the future, Moshe Ben Israel will sing at the time of the redemption, come back to Ches HaMesim, and they will sing the same song they sang before on a grander scale, because the redemption will be the same redemption we had before, but on a grander scale. Gemara continues. Okay, it's Seva Devar now on the top of page Mem Gimel. Okay, it's Seva Devar Talmer. Az Yivnei Yehoshua Mizbech Hashem. Similarly, it says, then Yehoshua will build an altar to Hashem. Banalo Nemar, the Pasuk in Yehoshua, Perek Chet, Pasuk Tet, doesn't say, then Yehoshua built an altar, but rather, Ela Yivne, he will build an altar. Mikan L'chiyat Meitim in HaTorah. So from here you see, Tchiyas HaMesim in the Torah or in Sefer Yehoshua in Tanakh. We're now going to, until now, all the allusions have been from the Torah, from the five books of the Torah. Now we're going to switch into bringing allusions from Tanakh as well. Gemara asks, Elamiata, well, if you're going to interpret things like that, what about the Pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, Az Yivneh Shlomo Bama, then Shlomo will build an altar. The Pasuk says that Shlomo Melech built an altar to Avodah Zarah. Marin Shava says, anyone who thinks Shlomo Melech sinned is mistaken. And commentaries say, anyone who thinks he sinned literally, that he did Avodah Zarah, is mistaken. Rather, since he didn't control his wife's activities, it's as if he did. So does that mean that at the time of Tchias HaMesim, Shlomo Melech can build an altar to Avodah Zarah? Because it says, Yivneh, in the future, he will bring. Hachinami Yivneh. Telling me that he will in the future build an altar to Avodah Zarah? Surely not. Rather, this pasuk should be interpreted differently. Yivneh means then he almost built an altar. He contemplated building an altar. Either it means his wives almost took him off the derech, or it means since he didn't control his wives' activities, so it's considered as if he almost built an altar to Hashem. This one should not be interpreted as an allusion to Tchias HaMesim. But the others, this one we have a reason to interpret differently. The others we have no reason to interpret differently and no logical interpretation other than to say that it's referring to the future. Now, Rashi and Chumash, the truth is, on Az Yashir, Rashi and Chumash does give seemingly another interpretation. It says, then the idea came up in Moshe's head that he should sing. And it's when Moshe saw Kriyas Yamsuf, he thought, I should sing, and that's why it's in future tense. Okay. But one of the Mefarshim, now I forgot where I saw this, wants to tie that into what we're saying, that then Moshe thought, I should sing, but he knew he could not sing fully because there was not a complete revelation, as alluded to by the use of the name Yud-Heh-Ka, and so he thought to himself, I will have to sing more completely in the future. I don't remember now where I saw that. But somebody, one of the first who says that. Okay, continuing further in the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Minayin l'chiyat meitim in the Torah? Where is there an allusion to chiyat meitim in the Torah? Shenemar, as it says in Tehillim, Ashrei yoshev yitecha od yalu chasela. Praiseworthy or fortunate are those who sit in your house. They will yet praise you, Selah. Hilalucha lo ne'amar, doesn't say they did praise you, Ela yehalalucha, they will praise you. Mikan l'chiyat meitim in the Torah. This is another allusion to Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. The Marsha says that the drasha is partially from the word od. Okay? They will yet praise you. Okay? Because otherwise it could mean, Marsha doesn't explain why he says that, but otherwise it could mean, praiseworthy are those who are sitting in your house right now at 6:10 in the morning. In 15 minutes, they'll start davening and they'll praise you, right? They will yet praise you in the future. Okay. Continuing further in the Gemara. Vam Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Kol omer shira v'olam hazeh zocheh v'omra l'olam haba. Whoever says shira in this world will merit to say it in the world to come. Shemar Ashrei Yoshev Yitecha Od Yaluch HaSela. I jumped the gun with the Marsha because the Marsha was referring to this Gemara here. Those who praise you in this world will yet praise you in the future. And it was on that the Marsha was commenting. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, "Name Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin l'chiyat meitim in the Torah? Where? How do we know that there's? Where do we see tchiyas meitim in the Torah? Shneamar, because it says, Yishaya nun bet pasuk chet. Kol tzofayech nasu kol. The voice of your seers, of your prophets, they lifted their voices. Yachdav iranenu. They will praise, or they will sing together." The Gomer, Rinanulo Neemar, it doesn't say they did sing or they did praise. Ela Yiranenu, in the future they will. Mikan et Chiyat Meitim in the Torah. From here we see Chiyas HaMesim in the Torah. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Senim Rabbi Yochanan, Atidim Kol HaNevim Kulam Lomar Shira V'Kol Echad. In the future, all of the Nevim will sing Shira together. Shemar kol tzofayech nasu kol yachdav yiranenu. Says the voices of your seers, they will raise their voices, they will sing together. The Gemara says that no two prophets prophesy exactly the same. The Navi's prophecy, every Navi is on a different level. And it's the prophecy is filtered through that Navi's level. But in the future, the revelation will be so great that every Navi, the Naviim, will prophesy and they will sing together. Everyone will sing together.
So we didn't think they could be together until the future.
Right, now.
We're saying now, and in the future, they for sure will be aligned. I mean, that's kind of like physically they can make a chorus.
Presumably not. Everybody will sing. Everybody will sing the same song. Today, I praise Hashem the way I see Him in my life, and you praise Hashem the way you see Him in your life, and so on with everyone else. But in the future, we will all see the same thing, and we'll all sing the same song, or the Nevi'im here it's referring to. Gemara continues. Amar Rava, according to another Girsa Marzutra. Minayin chiyat amitim in Torah, shenemar yechi ruvein v'al yamot. Yechi ruvein v'olam hazeh, v'al yamot l'olam haba. It says, let Ruvein live and not die. It's in the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave. So it's actually in the Torah. Let Ruvein live in this world and not die in Olam Haba because of the sin that he committed, alluded to in Parsha 2 weeks ago. Ravina Mar Mehacha, Ravina says from here, Rabim Mishinei Admata Faryakitzu. Many of those who are sleeping in the dirt will wake up. V'gomer Ravashi Mar Mehacha Vata Lech Lekeitz Tanuach Tamadu Garacha Lekeitz Hayamin. Rashi says from here, you go to your end and rest, and you will get up to your lot at the end of days. Those last two psukim are from Daniel. Daniel Perk Yud Bet Pasuk Bet and Daniel Perk Yud Bet Pasuk Yud Gimel. Those do not seem to be hints to Olam Haba. Those seem to be explicit references to Tchias HaMesim. Those seem to be not hints, but explicit statements that there is Tchias HaMesim. Mur has been giving us hints to Tchias HaMesim, and now all of a sudden we find out it's mentioned explicitly in Daniel. However, the Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rambam write, Rav Sadia Gaon in particular, there were those in his time who insisted on interpreting these psukim as allusions to the national rebirth. The Jewish people are in exile, we're out of our land, and there will be a national rebirth. It will be like the dead coming back to life. And so if one wanted to be obstinate, one could refer to these psukim, could interpret these psukim in Daniel differently. Rasadi Gaon is not saying that's how the psukim should be interpreted. He's saying there are people who interpret them that way, and they're wrong. These psukim are talking about actual Tchias HaMesim. But if one wanted to be obstinate, one could deny that the literal interpretation and could give some kind of allegorical interpretation. Therefore, they are, in some sense, only hints to Tchias HaMesim, even though they seem to be quite literal. Now, the Marsha comments on the last pasuk that's brought from Daniel. Vata lech leketz, go to the end, v'tanuach, and rest, v'tamoda garachal leketz ha'amin, you'll get up to your lot at the end of yamin, could be the Aramaic form of plural of days, because it doesn't say yamim with a mem, but yamin with a yud. The word yamin also means right, as opposed to left. So the Marsha says that we know that left refers to midas adin, and right refers to midas harachamim. The geula, the redemption, will involve rachamim. Therefore, the end of days is called the ketz hayamin, the end of the right, the end that will be brought about through the right side, through the side of rachamim. And as the Marsha says, b'mirah b'yameinu, amen.